The following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX Radio. I am Jen Cease and will be your host tonight for the 1 hour City Spotlight. John Camp is here with me on the controls. KMOX, by the way, I come in today and I already knew this was going to happen, but I walk in and I see the big sign here in our studio that, of course, we're always available on 1120 AM. That's how I grew up. I grew up timing my mornings to KMOX Radio as my dad listened to it on the AM dial. And now, of course, also at 104.1 on the FM dial. I listened to that actually driving into the studios, listening to Matt Pauly do a sports open line. Pretty surreal to have it on both sides, AM and FM, and pretty cool to have the first City Spotlight on that tonight. So coming up right now, we'll talk a little bit about, of course, City and their upcoming game. We'll review the last game with Dale Schilly coming up. We'll have him around 7:20 this hour. We also hang around. We're going to talk. I had an interview with Alfredo Morales. Really, really interesting player. From the get-go of when he started so young and his journey till now, he'll be our player profile on the Y98 pregame show, and you get a sneak peek at it tonight. So that'll be around 7:30. And then we'll round out the hour with Sarah Gunther talking from Oakville High School, talk a little girls' high school soccer. It's just the beginning of the season. They've already had several games, St. Louis Champions League, and of course also the Best 11. But starting, let's talk about City taking on Austin FC on Sunday. That's a 1:15 p.m. midday match at Energizer Park. Pre-game is on our sister station, Y98, at 12:45. And it is going to be an interesting experience because it's basically a doubleheader. It's the first time in City's short history of being a club that they've had both the first team and the second team at the stadium at the same time on the same day. So it really is their first ever club doubleheader celebrating families and kids. Tons of activities for the day for City first team and the second team, kid-friendly activities. There'll be player meet and greets as well. The club is partnering with Great Rivers Greenway and Metro Transit to encourage cycling and riding transit to soccer. And on that note, I'd like to welcome in Reno Dubois. He is with St. Louis Urbanist. Reno, thanks for taking time on your Friday night to talk with us a little bit tonight.
Yeah, Jen, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. And so talk about a day, and we'll get to the weather here in just a second, but let's just pretend like it's going to be a sunny, nice day, just like it was today. And for every game, your group, St. Louis Urbanist, does a lot of events, I think, as I'm reading about it, around St. Louis. And one that is, you know, was sent to me that you're specifically hosting is your City SC bike bus affair. Tell me a little bit about that. Is it every game, and what goes all into that?
Yeah, it's at every single home game. We started doing them about May of last year, I think, midway through the season. We just, you know, a bunch of us like biking, and we like either half season tickets or are big City fans. So we start from Amsterdam Tavern on Morgan Ford and Targrove South, and then take a route of, you know, mostly calm streets and try and take an easy, fun ride. We take one little stop at Crafted on Compton and Shenandoah and Targrove East, and then we just head to the stadium. It takes us about 30 minutes in total, and then we also do a ride back. We leave about 20 minutes after the final whistle, and it's really fun. We, you know, have gone and the first two games so far this season where the weather has not been great, and hopefully it's better for this weekend. But yeah, it's been a really fun way to get to the game and have, you know, in any number of folks from, we've had, you know, smaller groups of six folks. We had, I think, a 24-person one last summer. But yeah, it's just a really fun way to get to the game and have a little bit of exercise before and after.
Yeah, I'm looking at a little bit just at your website in general, the St. Louis Urbanist Grassroots Advocacy Group, creating safer, more effective infrastructure for pedestrians, you know, bike users, transit riders. So, of course, this fits in perfectly. It's not surprising to me then why you guys thought of this great idea. And I was sent the link, I think it's on meetup.com.
Yep.
That's there. And actually, as you were describing the map, I can read it here. I can see it from Amsterdam Tavern. Now, okay, to the untrained bicycler eye, I don't know, remember if, when the last time I was really, really on a bike. Do you have to be a true cyclist to enjoy this?
No, not at all. And I would not consider myself a true cyclist. I have a cheap used bike. I'm not doing anything fancy here. We say the riding pace is like around 10 miles an hour, but I mean, we have, you know, someone who's in the back making sure that no one gets left behind on the ride. And like I said, we try and, you know, it takes about 30 minutes to get to, like, you know, to the game, on that first stretch. So we try and stay on time because, you know, we have some folks who are in the supporter section and we want to make sure they're early enough to get to their seats that they want. But yeah, I mean, we've had, we had a parent bring their kid last year and, you know, they kept up fine. And so, yeah, it's definitely, you don't have to be a hardcore cyclist. That is not how I describe myself by any means. And it helps too. The ride there is mostly downhill, so it's pretty easy. A little more uphill on the way back, but nothing too crazy.
That was actually, you answered my next question, is that, you know, Sunday in particular, right, having a midday game and not a night game, is even with City 2 also, which is already, both events are very family friendly, but I can see some families, I already know some families who are making a day of it. And that was my next question, was to ask, you know, how little is the littlest that are able to go? Is there any restrictions on, like, hey, advisories and how old they should be?
Yeah, we don't have any official advisories. I think mostly just because, you know, we haven't had enough kids on the ride to really to make that. I think the kid we had last year was probably, I'd say, like 11 or 12, which I think seems, me not having kids, that seems like probably a good age. It's mostly adults on the ride, but yeah, we're, you know, absolutely, it's family friendly. Yeah, I think that's about the age range I'd go, is probably, you know, the 10 to 12 and up range.
Yeah, awesome. And of course, Amsterdam Tavern being the starting place seems so apropos. If you're a soccer fan in St. Louis, you've probably spent many a weekend or mornings,
of course,
or
yes,
overnight hours, depending on where games are in the world, at Amsterdam Tavern. And, you know, I really like the meetup.com, you know, save money, right? Ditch your parking fees and gas, get exercise. So get a little thing going before the game, before your heart rate's going to go up for the game, of course. And then, of course, connecting with new people and showing a little bit of St. Louis spirit.
Yeah, I it's a lot of fun, I think, to meet fellow fans and, you know, just get an idea of, you know, I think we all have the common interest of going to games and being really excited about City, but it's, yeah, fun to meet other folks who are interested in biking. And I think, you know, like you said, we do other events as St. Louis Urbanists, you know, more than just bike rides, but lots of other things. And so it's a great way to, you know, meet other folks who are, you know, interested in getting around St. Louis, not necessarily by car all the time. Yeah, and I think, yeah, it's just a really, and the other thing I was going to say, too, is that I, you know, my family typically drives to the games, and I usually beat them home most nights, so it's fun to whiz by all the car traffic, getting stuck on Jefferson as we go home.
There's more than one person in St. Louis right now that's like, oh, yes, we know what that feels like when a game lets out. So of course, Rito, if people are listening to this and say, that sounds like fun, quick question, though, what, if anything, do you do in terms of weather? So there's a bunch of alarms going off about what the weather might look like. And of course, we know in St. Louis, it could totally blow over. It could not be a big thing. But what if weather could be a factor? What should people do if they want to get involved with something like this, but want to stay up to date on it?
For sure. Yeah. So we are going to, you know, keep an eye on things and hope things are not too bad. But if things do go south, our plan is to, we'll post at least an hour, probably about, our plan is about 11 o'clock in the morning, 10:45, 11. We'll post if the ride is canceled on all of our social media. It's at St. Louis Urbanists. We're on X, Blue Sky, and Instagram, I believe. But yeah, our plan is to keep an eye out there if you're interested but are worried about the weather turning sour. It rained a little bit the last home game and we rode and it was fine, but obviously thunderstorms are a different story. So we're hoping it's fine, but we'll see. We'll keep an eye on things in the morning and try and let people know as soon as we can if things looking like they're going to be too bad to ride.
That's awesome. Reno, thanks for your time tonight and fingers crossed for great weather and another City win.
Yeah, thanks so much. Go City.
There go City. That was Reno Dubois. He's with the St. Louis Urbanists. And like we just talked about, they have tons of activities, but one in particular that if you're a City fan that you might want to take a look at is getting involved with their ride, so to speak, to St. Louis City Bike Bus, St. Louis City SC, starting at Amsterdam Tavern. Really easy, by the way, to find them. I simply just went to stlouisurbanist.org, clicked on the meet and greet, and found the one I wanted. So sign up for that. It sounds like a great time. and fingers crossed again for good weather. So more soccer to come, of course, with City's next game at home on Sunday. We'll take a close look at the lessons learned from Philadelphia and what it takes to beat Austin with Y98 game analyst Dale Schilly. He's up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
City Spotlight rolls on. Jen Cease here with you. Joining me now, Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director and Game Analyst on Y98 for all city games. Dale, thanks for your time tonight. Remember, no game tomorrow. It's Sunday.
That's right. Yeah, I won't show up tomorrow evening in the stadium, Jen. I'll make sure I'm there for the doubleheader on Saturday.
That's right. Well, of course, as you know, overall City unhappy and frustrated with their 1-0 loss to Bradley Carnell's depleted Philadelphia Union. They got those 3 points with the one goal on a corner kick where the City defense mostly held. Ben Lundt did his job, yet the City attack didn't create enough chances to finish. You know, on Tuesday, I want to have you listen to a couple of sound bites. One is from Coach Melberg. I had a chance to ask him specifically, you know, Tuesday, Dale, I was outside. It was a beautiful day. Everybody was loud. Everybody was complaining. Everybody was really intense at the practice. Everybody was supposedly cheating and pushing, and it was a very high intensity. So I thought it would be nice to ask Coach Melberg, you know, what he wanted from a team when it came to response. And here's what he said.
Not nice to lose, but it's very interesting, you know, and see what is happening to group dynamics individually and, you know, areas of improvement and how you respond to a defeat. Only in training is the first sign, you know, it was really good energy, high intensity, better quality on the ball, you know, so you see a good positive immediate reaction from that meeting, you know, and from that defeat. You know, that's what I'm looking at, but it's really nice to see the team looking like the top of the league. This I like, you know, that means the team has confidence in what we're doing.
And as you, of course, being a head coach yourself and coaching for so many years, losses are never fun, but it might sometimes tell you more about your team and your individual players than a win does, no?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just how do guys react to adversity? Do they pull together? Do they pull apart? Do they, you know, are they at each other's throats, or are they competing to try to win spots and that sort of thing? And I would agree with them. I watched training a little bit today and got to see guys working hard, competing. And, you know, he made this comment there. He loves the quality on the ball saying. I don't know if you've heard that one before yet, Jen. But I would say, to his point and to what he's looking for, there were guys today that did look cleaner, and you could see some of the combinations and some of the passing moments and actions come together with, you know, 2, 3, 4, and 5 players in succession that we hadn't seen from the team in the past. So it feels like it's starting to come together on the attacking side.
It's so interesting that you call that. It's like that rung in your ears too, because quality on the ball is something not only he's been saying, but so have the players. So we had Marcel Hartl on Tuesday as well. Got a chance to talk with him. Of him, of course, wearing the captain's band in place of Roman Berkey. And I had a chance to ask him, like, hey, what does quality on the ball mean to you? And here's what he told me.
The most part we have to do better is the easy mistakes we do with the ball. I think we lost too many balls very easy. Even if it's only one pass, we not connect with our teammates, and the easy mistakes, this we have to do much better. If we play in the game also longer balls and try to go on the second balls, we don't win enough second balls so that we can go in our ball position in the final third. But I think we have to find a better mix between play on the ground and play behind the lines.
So, Dale, he said a lot in that. So I was kind of expecting it when it came to the passing, you know, winning second balls. But he surprised me there that he seems to, he wants more balls at feet, you know, not up in the air maybe.
Well, look at him. He wants the ball to feet. He doesn't want to have to challenge a 6'4" center back. He wants the ball at his feet. He wants to be able to play to his own strengths. You know, when I hear that clip, and I give you a little bit of a insight into one of the things we'll talk about in the pregame show on Sunday, is finishing plays. And can players, you know, when Olaf is talking about quality in the ball, can players finish what they intended to start with. So if they have an intention of getting control of the ball and playing a ball forward into somebody's feet or playing a ball into a through ball or beating a player and getting a service, whatever their intentions are in the moment, can they finish that intention? Are they good enough on the ball to finish what they started? And, you know, when you're not, that's when things start getting disrupted. That's when you lose possession. That's when you have your issues with negative transition because you're giving the ball away. So, you know, I think a lot of what Cello said there in terms of quality on the ball can also be interpreted, can you finish what you intended to start?
Yeah, and so, of course, you know, I feel like we've probably parsed out everything that, you know, went wrong with Philadelphia. Matt Pauley had Bradley Wright Phillips on the Sports Open line and talked a little bit about that, who honestly was very positive in his outlook of you know, liking what he sees in terms of City building on the back of defense. He really liked that thing. But of course, you know, the number of times Bradley Wright Phillips from Apple MLS season pass said, you know, finishing in the final third, I probably could count on, you know, at least both hands.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, we have built from the back, obviously he started in the back half of the field. Olaf has, we have a good foundation. We are secure holding on to a lead. We've seen that. I think all of us are wanting to fast forward now to see what the team looks like going forward and creating opportunities. You know, we have to wait a little bit. We're going to have to allow some things to gel. It's the way this team is being put together. It's a completely different system and a completely different look. And we have to let some guys come together. And to be fair to Olaf, he continues to need to tinker and to try to find combinations and find the right guys to play in the right spots and maybe tinker with the system. We've seen a couple of different systems at this point. You know, what will he eventually land on? What will he eventually come to? You know, This week we'll have an opportunity to see the team without Adu.
That's right.
So we'll see some new faces in some new spots.
Yeah, it was interesting. He made a slight comment, I think it was today at the press conference, you were there, I was watching from a distance, that, you know, Leuven was not at training today. Obviously, he doesn't have the game to play, but was, you know, quote, given some time off. Don't know if that has anything to do with just maybe a frustrated player at this moment in time or what that might be, but I can't imagine that wouldn't mean that, you know, the next game he's back.
I would assume. I mean, you know, we would all hope, but just dealing with the Austin game, we know he's not there, and trying to come up with the solution. Is it Tomas Ostrak and Durkin? Is it Akil and Durkin and somebody else wide? Somebody's going to get a shot at a start that hasn't had one, and, you know, if they can take advantage of the opportunity, it only makes the team stronger.
I ask this because he's our player profile, which I'll play after our break here, and then we get it, of course, on the Y98 pregame, along with your three questions. Do you think it could be Alfredo Morales?
You know what? That's a good call as well. I mean, he had a really good preseason. I think he's been solid in the stints that he's gotten so far. He's a calming influence in midfield, so I think he'll be a good balance for a Chris Durkin that likes to run and get higher and you know, get around the field more. Alfredo is, let's say, a little older and a little more refined in how he gets around and likes to hold the center of the park. That could be a good call.
And, of course, last but not least, talk about, you know, Austin FC. They're, I think, at number two spot. St. Louis City's at maybe the number five spot. You know, they've scored four goals. I think we've scored four goals. They've allowed three. We've allowed one. Are we playing someone once again a little bit similar to where we are currently in the season, City?
This is really going to be interesting because both teams like to sit in their half of the field. Both teams are really comfortable defending their own goal. They will press when the moment's right, but it's not part of the, I don't want to say the DNA, but it's not the first way that we defend. They also have picked up three DPs this year, so they went out and spent a lot of money in the off season. Brandon Vasquez came back into the MLS from Monterrey. Bakari came in from, let me think, where was Bakari's Ghanaian? He was at Red Star Belgrade. He's a wide guy, also an attacking player, lefty, that's really good. And then they have a guy named Missouri who came in from Grenada, scored 49 goals for them over the last few years in La Liga too. So they've got some firepower now. Brendan Vasquez, if people haven't seen him play, he's been in the national team, 6'4"-ish, big, strong, athletic, powerful. It's going to be a really interesting match between him and Henry Kessler. And the guys in the back, it's going to be a really interesting game. It could be a good one.
All right, thanks, Dale. I'll see you on Sunday, not Saturday. I almost said it.
Right,
see you on Sunday.
Stop confusing me.
And earlier in the day, be there by noon for you and me. I think as long as we're there by noon, we're good.
That's right. Thank you.
Thanks, Dale. I'll see you Sunday. That was Dale Shilley, St. Louis City Academy Director. He's our game analyst on Y98 for all city games. You can hear him and Joey Zanaboni on Sunday, home at Energizer Park against Austin FC. We start at 12:45 on Y98 with pregame. And of course, that's a doubleheader with City 2 playing after taking on Austin's second team at 4:30. All right, hang tight with us on the City Spotlight. Hear a preview of this game's player profile with new City midfielder Alfredo Morales. He's next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Rolling on with the City Spotlight, Jen Cease here. Well, he hasn't gotten a ton of City minutes yet, but he certainly has them in the game overall. From the German Bundesliga to the U.S. men's national team and now City SC, Alfredo Morales brings skill and experience to the team. We got to catch up on Tuesday's training after the training to talk about his City experience, his roots as a German-American player, and some South American flavor.
So my mom is German. My dad is from Peru, actually. He came to the U.S. very young and became citizen. So this is why I am German and American. And I was born in Berlin. I spent my whole life there, grew up there. So was always connected to the U.S. I have a lot of family in the U.S. Came to visit as much as I could growing up.
You played for the U.S. men's national team. Any comment on the Nations League? It didn't go their way, no?
Yeah, you know, that's how it is. I mean, I'm obviously a big fan of the U.S. I mean, I was a part of the U.S. national team for a long time. I want them to be successful. They have a great group, so much talent, but they have to make it work. We can't just keep talking about, oh my God, they're so good. We have a World Cup coming up. It has to be better. That's just a fact.
So tell me a little bit about young Alfredo. Growing up, you're obviously in a country, in a part of the world where soccer is football, yeah, is the main sport. How did you get in it?
Yes, I mean, like I said, my dad is from Peru, South America, obviously a huge passion, huge history in soccer, Germany as well. All I knew growing up was just outside on the street with my friends in my neighborhood.
Little street soccer?
Yes, only street soccer. Very, very physical, very technical.
Referees.
Very painful as well. I mean, just, you know, in the middle of a big city like Berlin, just difficult neighborhood. So just being a kid and falling in love with this game, basically, and creating some kind of passion.
Besides being on street soccer, the informal, when did you first get into the club?
So, yeah, I started very young. I started with 4 or 5 years old and like a club in my neighborhood. And I switched a few clubs when I was 10 years old. I joined the Hertha Berlin Academy, very good, one of the best in Germany over the last decades, I would say. So I started playing there when I was 10 years old. Yeah. And then I went through the whole academy, turned pro at some point. I mean, yeah, for me, this was the team, the club that I was supporting my whole life, like the whole city. You know, obviously, it's basically inherited in family. Families, in culture, everything evolves around the city and this club. Obviously very proud going through the academy and make it to the pro level. And then I started my career here. Yeah.
So curious, dad's from Peru. South American soccer has a different flavor than European soccer. And even amongst its different countries, European soccer is different. Did you get a little bit of all the flavors?
I think, yes, I'm very, very hardworking, disciplined, organized, very German, you know, like, but also very hot-headed sometimes, very passionate, very over the top sometimes, you know, that's how it is, very South American. And I would also say very chill and relaxed, you know, easygoing. Yeah, I always try to take the best things from all those cultures and make it into my own mix.
So I have to ask you, who was your favorite player growing up then?
I never had a favorite player. I don't know.
Not at all?
Nah, not really. I Yeah, I enjoyed watching like very fancy players, you know, like Ronaldinho or something. Like players were just fun to watch. And I mean, this is not how I play. This is how I could play, how I played when I was younger, very, you know, just for the show and nutmeg here and the flick there. And it's amazing. But I mean, you know, at some point you had to make a decision if you want to be successful. But I enjoy this game a lot. In my head, it's very simple and it's beautiful and it's very technical. And this is how I want to play and how I want to, yeah, embrace it.
So congratulations. It was a few games ago now, your 100th appearance in MLS. Being in the MLS, and you've also been over in Europe, played in the Bundesliga, what are the biggest differences for you? Every league's different, but is there something that stands out?
It's very difficult to compare. I mean, Germany is the stadium, the atmosphere, the pressure from fans, from media, the overall pressure that surrounds you is so much more intense and so much bigger. It doesn't mean that it's easy here. It's just different. Like I said, it's very difficult for me to describe it, but there are other things in MLS. It's very physical. It's also very challenging with traveling in general. This is my fifth year in MLS now. It's just very tiring. Even if it's just a 2-3 hour flight, but a 2-3 hour flight is a lot, you know, you cover a lot of distance and it's just
a couple of time zones.
Yeah, it's not only tiring physically, it's also mentally, you know, like played in New York for 3 years. And if we go to the West Coast, we're gone for like 4 days, you know, and you basically sit in your room for 4 days in the hotel. That's great. You know, sometimes I have 2 boys at home. My wife, it's good to get away, you know. You know, I'm somebody, I get bored easily, to be honest. And I'm not somebody who will watch movies or something for hours or play PlayStation for hours. So I'm just sitting in my bed. I'm like, what's going on? So it's different challenges, but I think it's very difficult to compare.
So as a veteran player, somebody who's been around, you've played, if you could go back to young Alfredo, so like some of these young guys here on the team, and go back in time, what's a piece of advice you'd give yourself?
What I'm trying to do over the last, I would say, 6-7 years, I try to be there and connect with people and try to help them improve. Sometimes it's just a thought. Sometimes it's just a very small detail in whatever it is. Sometimes it's just an idea or just a word that might stick with somebody and they can step it up and get maybe to the next level or whatever it is, you know, but it's all in the details. I wish I had this, or I had somebody who would help me, because I was very wild, I think. And I mean, I was always very good, to be honest, but it was not perfect. I don't know if that makes sense, you know what I mean? Somebody who can guide me maybe more in the right direction. Not that I regret something, not at all, to be honest, but just something that can make my game clearer earlier in my career, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Coming off a loss, losses never feel good, but coming back to Energizer Park in front of the fans for a Sunday midday game, I know a lot of families are really excited about that. How is St. Louis treating you, and how do you like playing at Energizer Park?
I have to say it has been amazing so far. Honestly, with everything coming into the team and the staff and all the people who work here and all the people I see every day. I mean, I played here in St. Louis once, I think last year, and I was already like impressed, you know, by the atmosphere. I love Germany for the stadiums, for the craziness of the away games, you know. Everybody's trying to kill you, you know, and everybody's pushing you in home games, like, and you have 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people every single game. So I was impressed coming here last year, and obviously now I'm on the right side. So, I mean, the two home games we had so far, I truly enjoy it a lot. I think it's amazing. I don't know, there's a very special energy, I think, you can feel as a player, as somebody who's down there on the pitch. I'm just somebody, I don't know, I love those things. I love it. And I love to see the kids and the fans going crazy, you know, and yelling and cheering. And I don't know, everything about it. I'm about passion, you know, with this game. And you can literally feel like the dad and his four-year-old son, like, going crazy. I don't know, but it gives me a lot. And so far it has been amazing, and I'm pretty sure I will get to make so many more good memories.
Yeah, that was Alfredo Morales, City midfielder. Maybe he'll make some more. Maybe this upcoming game we'll see him on the pitch at some point in time as City takes on Austin FC. One more segment to go. We go local and we go high school girls soccer. That segment's up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Final segment of the City Spotlight. Jen Cease here. We switch gears a little bit. We talk city soccer, but we also talk other soccer. And a soccer to talk about right now is high school girls soccer in St. Louis and in Missouri. Fully underway already. And here to talk with me about it now is Sarah Gunther, Oakville High School's girls soccer coach. Sarah, how's the season going so far?
It's a going. We started matches this week, and I just had a meeting with my girls. We did some film session today because this week was our busiest week of the season as we start out the gates with four games in 1 week. Yeah, but I will tell you, it's been good. It's been a good assessment of my team because we lost our first match. It was a great match to a great Columbia team. They have some really talented players. They scored on a bunch of restarts, which we just got to brush up on. They have a girl that's really good in the air. We know that's kind of a lethal weapon in soccer these days if you have that. But then we had had to come back out of that. And it was their fourth match, so, you know, they're a little seasoned. And then we played in the first Champions League match of our pool on Wednesday against Clayton. And it was a good game. We were winning, then we were tied, then we were losing, and then we came back and won it.
Oh, those are the best.
It was one of those. Oh, my gosh. It was a great game. Really great game. Good matchup. So we did a roller coaster ride there. And then we came out yesterday with no break and played our biggest rival, the Lindbergh Flyers, last night at Lindbergh and ended up beating them 2-0. And it was an awesome game. It was probably one of the most just total team effort matches, you know, we've had in a minute. So it was great. Everybody played. We had a split shutout with my keepers. We had multiple girls score goals in multiple different ways. Everyone played on my team. So it was just a really cool win. So now we're just assessing ourselves and getting ready for our second pool game against in Champions League against a Visitation Academy tomorrow.
Yeah, and we talked about it last year. We talked about it during the boys' season. This is inaugural season for the girls in the Champions League, and I know you're on the calls. You're kind of an ambassador for St. Louis of the whole Champions League effort in the United States for high school. You know, to the common person who just knows high school soccer the way I did and doesn't know what this is, how would you say explain what the Champions League is for high school soccer?
Champions League is a tournament within the season where basically we use regular season games as our tournament games. We've got four pools, and the way that we get the teams is by looking at kind of like, well, since this is the inaugural, we had to basically go off who won districts. There's 16 teams, and then like the fill in the slots teams were teams that were high on the NPR ranking. So it's the best teams in the area. It doesn't matter, parochial, public. We really only are right now taking class 3 and class 4, but we're wanting to move that into class 2 and class 1 as well. But it's just kind of like, you know, have the best of the best play. And you know, because with these classes, you get great, awesome, you know, talent in both divisions, all divisions. And, it's hard to really assess who in the end was the best team, you know, because teams are going to go up and down in classes depending on their years. So we kind of just wanted to make it one of those, or like, who is the champion? Like the Champions League, you know, we have. And so what's neat about it is we get to highlight players from, you know, like I said, all of those entities and match them up and put them in kind of like a better competition. And who doesn't love a tournament? You know, a tournament just... It's so much fun, and so it's a new thing. The boys had an awesome inaugural season in the fall, and we got a lot of great feedback from it. So now we're excited to see what happens with the girls, but that's basically what it is, and it's just a good way to kind of bring some camaraderie and some involvement back into high school sports.
And of course, at the end of the season, there's a culminating game, if I remember correctly, from the boys' season, right?
Yeah. So there's a championship, you know, the pools will play, and then you'll, whoever wins their pool. Like, so right now we are tied with Liberty in our pool, and then whomever makes it out, it goes to the semis, and then we have the big championship game. And unfortunately, the sports complex got obliterated by that recent storm we had. And so we're still trying to find where that championship game is going to be, but it'll be somewhere awesome.
You know, that I want to say too, with our last minute or so we've got left, is that it feels like, you know, we always expect our players to play at their highest level, but there is, even as you were a player, I was a player, there's something about the extra, whether it's a trophy, whether it's knowing it's a Champions League game, or Dave Ehrenberg, the coach over at Ladue High School, has also his best 11. So there's another little bit of icing on the cake for players wanting to reach and get a little bit of recognition, him having all the coaches like you vote on who's going to be highlighted in the best 11. Talk about all those carrots to reach for as a player. I'm thinking that that has got to be really enticing for the girls you coach.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. Who doesn't want to see their name listed with a group of other amazing athletes, you know? And the greatest part is when I read who they put down for, you know, we did a best 11 kind of preseason, like who to look for, and that just came out. And what's neat is you see these kids that you never would honestly heard of if you weren't like in their class, you know, and that's kind of cool too. And you get to read about their stats, and it just, I mean, I can remember when I'd be in the newspaper and I'd get some, you know, write up and whatever. It's just the coolest thing in the whole wide world. And I mean, why not? We love this sport. We might as well have fun doing it.
That's exactly right. Well, Sarah, thanks for joining me tonight. Congratulations on your upsetting wins, and best of luck for the season. I'll be looking to follow the Champions League and, of course, the best 11, as well as you and Dave Ehrenberg and all the other coaches in the St. Louis area and Missouri, actually. Not just donating your time to the game, but also this extra recognition piece for all the players. Thanks and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate being on here. It's awesome. So I look forward to having time seeing you again and having you come out and watch one of our games.
That sounds great. I'll see you soon. There's a tiger for you.
Right.
There's Sarah Gunther. She's the Oakville High School girls soccer coach, and she also is ambassador, so to speak, for the St. Louis Champions League. You can follow all that at St. Louis Champions League. You can find them on Twitter, X. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook as well. High school season up and going and is not stopping anytime soon. Very, very interesting. Well, that does it for the City Spotlight. If you missed any part of the show, you can always find it free on the Odyssey app under the podcast section. So if there's an interview you missed or something that you missed out on, you can always go back and rehear it, which is great. It also, by the way, has the previous content, like pregame interviews, the one with Alfredo Morales we just did, or Coach Olaf Melberg and his pregame profile. We talk about the games. Consider it your one-stop shop reference for all things City on KMOX and Y98. The next MLS regular season game, City's home, Energizer Park against Austin FC, Sunday, March 30th. That's a midday match, 1:15 p.m. kickoff with a 12:45 pregame show on Y98. The Gas House Gang is up next after the news. I'm Jen Cease, and you've been listening to the City Spotlight on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.